It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another rousing edition of the Sound Mind broadcast. Happy New Year, Daniel.
Happy New Year. Here we are.
Here we
are. Whole nother year.
So whole nother year. 2019 is going to be a great year. Was 2018 a pretty good year for you?
Well, let me think. No, I better not. I think it was a good year, sure. But okay. Yeah, they're all good.
Okay, lots of meaning in these years, and that's what you want to talk about this week. The meaningful life, instead of New Year's resolutions, you kind of want people to just think about having a meaningful 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to kick off the year here with a couple of shows. They're connected, and so I want to talk a little bit about how to have a meaningful life and then also the impact of our choices. I just noticed that, of course, most of my clients are Christians, believers, because this mostly they hear about my work through this radio show.
Okay.
And so they're mostly Christians, and they're high functioning too. I should say that I tend not to, and probably because of the radio show and the people that listen to the radio show, and then they make their decision there either to call or not. They tend to be fairly high functioning people, which I think is important for people to know out there, because I think there's still maybe a bit of a stigma that people in counseling are exceptional people and have problems that I don't experience. Really, the work that I'm doing here, and you know, the title of the show is Sound Mind, and it does encompass mental health, traditional mental health, anxiety, depression, anger management, those kinds of things. But it reaches beyond that. I'm really after more of a coaching thing, in a sense. Really, just trying to encourage healthy living in the Christian context.
Mm-hmm.
That really covers all of us. So whether you're a candidate for counseling or just from time to time need pointers in life, even like
mm-hmm.
I do,
mm-hmm.
Then this show is great for you. And so we're talking about a couple of things now that I think come up not only in the people that I see in my work, but just across the spectrum of life and Christian life, we're particularly talking about here too. I even experienced these things in my life, so I know good and well that Christians out there can, you know, wake up one morning and struggle with meaning in their life and struggle with choices that they're making. And so these are just good couple of topics to head off the year, to start out the year, and things to remember through the year. And I hope when people listen to these shows that they really do take a lot of the things that we talk about as tools that they can use, incorporate in their life and use. You know, if you get a good set of tools in your life and you continue to use them, you have a better chance. I don't know about you, but I've got tools in my garage that I've never used.
Yes. Yeah. Several that are still in the box and have never been opened.
Yeah. And
leaf blower that I've never used.
Oh, and then you discover, so sometimes I've been out there pounding nails with my fist, as we used to say, and then you find out later that you've got the tool that could have done that had you only. So, let's start off here this morning, this afternoon, actually, talking about meaningful life. And I have a lot of clients. In fact, you could probably say that the basis of a lot of our frustration in life is just the inability to focus on a particular meaning in life. So I'm going to read through a lot of this to begin with. There's quite a bit of it here. And then I want to get later on, if we have time, otherwise we'll carry over into next week. But I want to get into just, you know, a few pointers, essentials having meaningful life. And so, you know, what do we mean by meaningful life? I think probably most people listening, their first reaction to something like meaningful life is say, well, of course I have a meaningful life. You know, I get up in the morning and I go do my job. I have my family, care about people, or I go to the church and I work at the church. Of course, I have a meaningful life. But then there are these times when we get into kind of like an emotional funk. And really, that is about a life that is not meaningful, or a part of my life that's not meaningful. And a lot of times we find ourselves choosing ways to incorporate meaning into our life that are not particularly healthy. I'd be surprised, like a lot of Christians, if we were to really explore our lives and look closely at our lives and what we do with those emotional downs, and how much of our day we really live purposefully, and how much of our day we really live in a very directed way, in full consciousness of where our life is headed. Mm. Because a lot of our daily life ends up being just, by gosh and by golly, the seat of our pants, and things happen, and then we apologize for things.
Are you kind of talking about a midlife crisis type stuff that goes on? Are most of the people that you see kind of our age and older, or do you see a lot of younger people, or are they usually people who are like at least 50 and up, or
across the spectrum? On a bell shaped curve, I would think my average client is probably somewhere in the 40s, early 40s, and then
so
they
kind of that
they,
midlife. They've kind of. They're starting to see the reality of life and wondering, is this all there is?
Yeah, that is most of whom I see. So let me just get going here, and we'll cover ground as quickly as we can. And so again, a lot of this is reading. So if it sounds like it's reading, you're hearing it right. Okay. So one's life can be guided along one of two paths by one of two respective philosophical persuasions, or in some cases, a lot of cases, I think maybe a failed attempt to accommodate both of these philosophic persuasions. One persuasion is that life doesn't have an intrinsic meaning. Like there was an explosion in a cosmic chemistry lab and a terrible accident. So now here we are. No right, no wrong, no ultimate purpose, and the only meaning is the one that we assign to our life daily, or that we superimpose over existence. Now, I don't think any Christian would consciously espouse that, but we believe God's a purposeful creator of purposeful things, and the problem is that in kind of the default of living daily, we'll find ourselves living in that way. The other perspective is that life isn't an accident, that there is an intention, there's purpose, purposeful creator, created purposeful things, as I say. And our lives mean something because they're part of a meaningful life. Our lives have direction because the meaning of life is ontological. We didn't make it up. But ultimately, the problem in our daily life is that these two paths seem to merge sometimes. They seem to go in the same direction. That is, a lot of the things that I handle during the day, I handle as though I'm just making up the meaning of my life. I sort of disconnect. It's almost as though we can't all really be cognitively aware, cognizant of that overall purpose in life, and still, get this doorknob put on correctly or something like that. And that's all true. You know, my mind can't concentrate on the large picture and the details of life at the same time. And that's where the danger sometimes is, that we get into a habit, I think, of just dealing with the details, and we simply don't take the time during the day. And it should be more than one point of the day where we back up and refresh and say, get that larger.
So you're saying then too, you do need to be heavenly minded to be earthly good, because we hear it the other way around. People can be so heavenly minded that they don't do any earthly.
Yeah,
good. But it kind of is the other way around.
Yeah, I think that
as a Christian,
I think we can be so heavenly minded, but I think we do have to be heavenly minded. We've talked about this a bit before in the past, where no point of reference has value without the ultimate point of reference. So there's got to be that thing in life that pulls all of the details together and gives them perspective. If we got right down to it, I think, and most Christians would agree, that you can experience you can have an experience of relationship with God even when you're installing a doorknob or trying to find a parking spot in traffic or something. You can experience that. Then we typically don't. typically we just, get her done, to speak. And the danger is, again, that we begin to live life in that way, and that becomes our MO. And the thing we fail to do is on a daily basis back out and refresh and get in focus our that ultimate goal again. You know, so the mistake, I think, is that, again, result of not having sufficient clarity that, concerning the true objective of life. And so we can't really recognize that we're the fact that we're not really pursuing an objective if we don't, as I say, refresh during the day and clarify what that objective is. Gradually, we find ourselves just following things like, relaxation, amusement, repose, enjoyment, comfort. That's security. These are the kinds of things that we live toward. None of those things seem contrary to the way that we view God. But the path goes on. That living that path habitually, again, like without refreshing, as I say, we tend to go toward gratification, satisfaction, a need to belong. And then we find ourselves having to make compromise to be in certain social groups. Remembering the story of that a pastor told me about a group of pastors that met together and prayed in this small town, and then one day one of the pastors came up to a stop sign, and another car ran a red light, and there was an obscene gesture by one of the people in the cars, and they both turned out to be pastors from this meeting that they get together.
Oh, they just
recognized
from
each other. Yeah. And so the thing is that we have these separate lives that we live, and mm-hmm. so the question is, and when we find ourselves, detached, and we do, get to the place where we feel that we've got the world on us, and we recognize that we've gone and been going in the wrong direction. And then the questions we ask is, can we get back to the proper path? And, do we even really want to? Yeah, so I want to talk about a little bit more about that when we come back from the break here. I want to remind people, too, that the Sound Mind Show goes beyond just the typical mental health issues, but that's actually what I do in my office, licensed mental health counselor. I've been at it for a long time too, 25 years, which mm-hmm. doesn't seem long to people who are in their 80s. I've probably been in practice, at least half as long as most of my clients have been alive. So I've done a lot of it, and I do a lot of, different, work with people on a lot of different issues.
A lot of life coaching too, not
and a lot of
counseling.
Life coaching. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of what we're doing here today mm-hmm. is a little bit more along mm-hmm. the lines of life coaching.
Okay. Well, how do people get in touch with you if they need some help for the new year?
Yeah. The phone number would be 425-778-6169. I have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, and also these radio shows are always on podcast at my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay.
Might also say that people email me through that website
as well, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Mm-hmm. Having a meaningful life here in 2019 as we head into it. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at having a meaningful life for 2019. And again, a happy new year to everybody. Daniel loves to help people. Particularly, we're focusing more on his life coaching mm-hmm. aspect this week.
Yeah, so we're talking here again about a meaningful life. And so in this portion, I want to zero in on kind of what we mean by that. I would say that well-intended, conscientious people, Christians, can become lethargic in life. And I know I have, and I'm sure that since I'm the average man, most people out there have, they can find themselves in a place with no central focus or overall meaningful guiding purpose in their life. We've talked about this before. Without an ultimate point of reference, there's no point of reference. Other points of reference become meaningless. That is, the meaning that they seem to hold turns out to be transitory in the absence of some ontological point to which they correspond. By ontological, we just mean, a way of saying it would be that it's the absolute truth. God is an ontological reality, regardless of what our view is, that kind of thing. So amusements, we live toward amusements. That seems to be just a natural thing to do. Intermediate goals, and none of those things are wrong. But without that ultimate point of reference that they correspond to, the amusements, they cease to amuse, goals cease to be challenging, and they have to be replaced by new points of reference, which also in time lose their attraction. Ironic, I think, as it may seem, I know many Christians who are in that place, and they want to have a deeper purpose in life, but kind of lack the sense of where exactly to find it or how to generate it and sustain it. So, meaningless is not something that we wake up one morning and we have it. It's a destiny. It's the end of a path that we've been walking. And I believe that path begins with a lack of sufficient clarity or a conviction about where meaning resides. And too often, perhaps even a refusal to take steps toward that meaningful destiny. I know that's been a challenge in my life. And we read Apostle Paul saying to lay aside the sin that so easily besets you. And I don't know of any person that doesn't have something that easily besets them, then distracts them from pursuit. So how do we find meaning in life, and how do we generate it, or how do we sustain it? The only way to affirm an intrinsic meaning in life is to affirm a purposeful God as your Lord. Now, that may sound like Christianese, but if you think it through philosophically, you only have two choices. We either just happened here, or we were put here. And if we were put here, we could build an argument very quickly that there was a purpose to it. And so the only way to really affirm an intrinsic meaning or purpose in life is to affirm that there's a purposeful God. And, of course, if there's a purposeful God and I have no knowledge of that purposeful God, then that's the piece that's missing. So it's not so much a question of how to find meaning in life as it is a question of how the intrinsic meaning that is in life becomes meaningful to me. So that's the first thing. We affirm that there is meaning in life, and then the question becomes, how is it meaningful to me? In order that you see how intrinsic meaning of life involves you, you have to be researching the intrinsic meaning of life. In order to see how something is useful, you have to know something about it. The best shot we have of that is really just seeking the face of God. Again, at the risk of sounding Christianese, these are just the facts. Here's where most Christians, I think, just simply fail. That they're too busy or too otherwise entertained, maybe I should say we, to bother with just getting to know God on a deeply and personal level. So many of us just don't take the time to do that. I remember C.S. Lewis saying in one of his books that he had come to the place, and maybe we all, this is a challenge for us all, to where we only come to God when we have trouble, and eventually we think of God as someone who solves troubles, and then coming to God reminds us of our troubles, so we don't come to God because we don't want to be reminded of our troubles. We go towards some kind of distraction or something. This is where a lot of Christians fail again, too busy or otherwise entertained or whatever to just take the time to be deeply and personally related to God. So from here, then, the simple matter of applying the principles that you would apply to any seeking any deeper interest in anything at all, seeking a deeper interest in the meaning of life is not different than seeking a deeper interest in some other thing.
Fly fishing.
You have to study the thing, and you have to make room for it in your life, and you have to make it a priority. You have to be a disciple of whatever that is, fly fishing or following God. I have five essentials here that I want to leave with people along the lines of these three things that I've just read off.
Okay.
One, of course, is time alone in prayer. This is really a weakness of a lot of Christians. Prayer just, for some reason, seems so exhaustive. And I think I spoke in a show previous about how I think it would be healthy for every Christian to know that they are capable of praying for 2 or 3 hours. And you just have to do it once.
Yeah, you said that. I was surprised when you said that. I said, wow, I think everybody would fail on that one.
You'd have to do it once or twice to do that, and probably the best time that most people are going to find to do that is going to get up in the middle of the night, and you might think, well, that's a ridiculous thing to do, but I'd suggest if you're tossing and turning in the middle of the night and worried about things, that you may as well get up and pray them through, because you'll get better rest anyway. And once you've done that once or twice, you'll realize that it's not so undesirable. It's not a thing that you necessarily want to avoid, and you might actually get to where you like it. The second thing here is being familiar with the lives of those who have walked where you want to walk. Read about biblical accounts of other believers. Get into the Bible and read about people who have, till those stories become more than stories, and they become actual lives. And also, read biographies of influential saints. So you got to make this meaning real to yourself. Mm. The third thing would be fellowship. You need to have a regular diet of fellowship with people who walk with you through this and inspire you unto good works. And this would be people, I put it this way, people before whom you would walk more like Christ. Mm. Not all of the people we hang around with inspire us unto good works. Some of them we feel like they know our faults, and we're comfortable just behaving as we. But there are people, Christians in our life, where if we got closer to them, they would be people for whom we'd want to walk more like Christ, and we need a steady diet of that. And then fourthly, we need to learn the ministries of our church. We are called into a body, which is not an analogy or a metaphor, but a living organism. So we need to be familiar with the ministries of our church and get involved where you feel you should.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I didn't say could, because if I said get involved where you feel you could, that would eliminate all of our responsibilities almost, because we can always say, you know, I just couldn't. And meanwhile, we feel that we probably should. So I say if you really feel that you should. And then fifthly, be careful of what you put in your mind, in your heart. Remember that you only have room in your life for meaningfulness.
I would think this area is a big challenge for people. So much technology and media consumption. I know it's probably one of my main challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's turning off the TV.
Yeah. And in our next show, we'll talk about choice. You know why sophomores make the best nihilists? Sophocles is really the father of nihilism, and Sophocles was the man who said there is no real meaning in life. Well, he was one of the first. There's no real meaning in life. There's no purpose, et cetera, et cetera. And I think sophomores in school, there's a high dropout rate for sophomores.
Really?
They're always the ones who come in after their freshman year. They think they know probably what they need to know, and then they start having trouble with the instructors, and so they blow it off. So usually going into a university as a junior is easier than going in as a freshman, because there are a lot of empty seats between the sophomore year and we don't want to be sophomore-ish. and then to have true meaning in life requires study, contemplation, devotion, and discipline. It's not like a sheer rock wall that we have to climb. I don't want to frighten people off. But it's a steady grade, but it's nothing that anyone isn't capable of, one step at a time. And, you know, you can start this month, January 2019, start it, And if you get off the path one day, get right back on the next.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking here about meaningful life, how to have meaning in your life. Sounds like a tough challenge, but as we've just talked it through, it's pretty basic.
A step at a time.
I just want to remind people too that I am a licensed counselor, and a lot of times on the Sound Mind show, we don't talk about mental health issues, but we do talk about issues that always relate to sound mind and the Christian walk, and so it's a little bit broader than that. However, that is my practice. I do marriage counseling, family counseling, mental health counseling of all kinds. Most of my clients are Christians because this is how they hear about me on this show. Again, so I would say my phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find all of these radio shows. Oh, I think over 3 years now, I think.
Yeah. Just about every subject, yeah. It seems like.
Offices, Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind from life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.